Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of Pneumatic Awesome. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's show is entitled Yahweh's Saving Activity Through Noah. And our study is going to begin in Genesis chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. And after he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived 969 years, and then he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son, and he named him Noah, and said, "He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." After Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech lived 777 years, and then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. When men began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "Will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years." Then the Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And although afterward, when the sons of daughters went to the children of men and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, "I will wipe mankind whom I have made from the face of the earth, men and animals, creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them." But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man and blameless among the people of his time. Very key verse. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Verse 10, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. I want to stop there for a moment and just reflect on the situation, on the aesthetic, as it were, for the Mabul event that we call flood. To say that this event was a flood does not take in the magnitude of what the Genesis material reflects. I want to first of all show the connection or relate the connection between human behavior and the earth. That is, the ecological theology that is given to us in the book of Genesis. There is an ecology of creation that the Adam directly received from God. And if you will carefully note in the words of Lamech in verse 28 of Genesis 5, he states in verse 29, he named him Noah, that is, Lamech named his son Noah. And he said, he will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground, for the Adama, the Lord has cursed. And so there is an ecology of creation that is given in the book of Genesis. And we note the intimate relationship between Adam, that is man, and Adama, the Hebrew word for the ground. Man was taken out of or from the ground. And so therefore, there is a connection, there is an interdependence that is given in the Word of God. And so man is intimately connected to creation. His behavior directly influences creation. It is so important to understand the biblical narrative. And it is not so important to understand the Western adaptation of the Genesis narrative. It is important to read carefully what is given. The Genesis narrative is very concrete, and the Genesis narrative relates the moral responsibility that man has toward man and man has toward creation, because he is directly accountable to God, both for his behavior toward himself, others, and creation. And so Lamech knows this. And so when he has a son, Noah, whose name is Reth, we are given a prophetic picture or even pronouncement as to who Noah is and the divine purpose for his birth. Noah is a strategic personality given by God during this time. And so Lamech understands the curse, and he knows the significance of Noah. And so Yahweh is directly involved in the human condition. So the coming of Noah is a picture of divine mercy. And it is important to understand that God knows what is going on, and God has done something about the situation. Now, when we go on, at the end of the book of Genesis, Genesis 5, verse 32 reads, after Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And in chapter 6, we are given a synopsis of the condition of mankind during that time. So God says in Genesis 6:3 that my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. So, and his days will be 120 years. So, observing the behavior or the behavioral interaction that we are given in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 and verse 4, we see that something indeed has happened to mankind that is perverse, that is outside of the divine order. And this, it is serious, and it is heinous. In verse 4, we're given the name Nephilim. The I-M on the end of the word Nephilim in Hebrew, it indicates a plural suffix. And so just who these beings were, there are various theories as to who they were, but reading the account relates something to us that is indeed disturbing, and God observed this. And this account that is given to us is very important because it helps us to get an idea as to why God said he was going to wipe out mankind at that time. And so so that we do not trivialize the divine viewpoint, so that we understand that this is God's judgment. And that God's judgment is just that. It's the final court of appeal. This is what God says that he must do. Something was introduced into the race that was indeed perverse on a magnitude that we cannot imagine. But God saw this. And so God has done something decisive. He will limit the extent to which this sin will go. God will move to remove this very dangerous precedent in humankind. And so as one biblical writer states, who can say, what doest thou? We bow before the authority of God, understanding that God knows what is best, and God knows what he is doing and why he has done what he has done, why he has decided on this course of action. We read in chapter 6, verse 5 of Genesis, that the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth, had become, and that every inclination of the thought of his heart was only evil all the time. And so the Hebrew word in chapter 6, verse 5 for evil is the word ra. And ra here relates the universal perversion of human society. The universal perversion of human society. Indeed, ra relates the breaking up or ruin of all that is within an individual and his periphery. Ra is a very significant Hebrew word because this word binds together in one the wicked deed and its consequences. This word binds into one the wicked deed and its consequences. Notice the next verse, verse 6. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth. The Lord was grieved that he had made Adam on the Adam. Excuse me. And his heart was filled with pain. Now, indeed, this is an anthropomorphism. It relates pain or emotional pain to the heart of God. It's a picture for us so that we would understand or get some indication of the divine viewpoint in relationship to this very, very serious situation. Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we are sealed until the day of redemption. Our behavior, our activity outside of the will of God can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And please note that the biblical material, neither in the Old or New Testament, presents God as aloof, indifferent, icy, or insensitive to the human condition, but presents God as intimately involved with this human condition. And so verse 6 is very important. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. And so the cruelty and the injustice, the violence, and the fact that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time was hurtful to God. And God says that he is going to wipe out mankind. He is from the face of the earth, men and animals, creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air. For I am grieved that I have made them. And then in the face of this, we have in the next verse, verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It is important to recognize the fact that the coming deluge, the Mabul, or flood, as it were, is directly connected with creation. It is, in fact, the reverse of creation. It is de-creation. It is the ontological collapse of antediluvian reality. The Hebrew uses the word all or kol, K-O-L, in order to relate what indeed has occurred. Human behavior is devastating. Human behavior is shockingly filled with that, filled with evil. The desire for blood and violence is insatiable. And every thought of the inclination of his heart, that is, the collective heart of mankind, was only evil continually. And so there is indifference to life. There is a callousness to life. There is the self-mockery of who mankind is. There is no worship of God. And as I said in an earlier show, the godly line of Seth and the ungodly line of Cain have merged, and so you see that that the collapse of the godly line and infiltration, the intermarriage of the godly line with the ungodly line has happened. And so the distinction of those who had begun to call upon the name of the Lord has now disappeared. There is a collective negative moral monism. Society has become a negative moral monolith. There is no worship of the living God. There is no acknowledgement of the sacredness of life and man's place in the cosmos. That is all gone. And into this this callous ion, into this callous cosmos, God brings the light, his light, in the presence or in the person of Noah, once again, whose name means rest. And in the biblical material, the ocean or the sea is used as a picture of humanity ill at rest, humanity teeming, humanity directionless, humanity fomenting evil and decay, the collapse, the deconstruction of society as it were. And so God is going to bring in Genesis 1, chapter 1, once again. And so he is going to reverse the order of creation. He can do this. He is the sovereign Lord. And in spite of clever retorts, in spite of learned opinions to the contrary, God will not back down to what he has decided. And so we do well to recognize in our day that there are those who decry that God created the world. And let me say this morning that God is the creator, and that the universe did not emerge from the impersonal void. And the impersonal plus time plus chance does not produce complexity. The evolutionary picture must always begin with a nothing-something. It cannot begin ex nihilo. there must always be a prebiotic material. There must always be something within the prebiotic soup in order to give rise to complexity, that is, to simple amino acids. And then amino acids have to somehow miraculously come together in order to form macromolecular chains or protein strands, which does not arrive by chance even today. And so there is divine teleology. There is a divine purpose. There is a divine cause. There is God, who is prior to creation. He is not a created being. He is prior to creation. He is the creator, the one who creates ex nihilo, the one whose word, and by whose word, that which comes into being. Stasis is given by God. The universe is going to, that is, the created order is going to be reversed in the day of Noah. It is a fantastic reality. It is an unprecedented, unimaginable reality. And yet, God will bring this to pass. Noah is called by God to the Tiva. We say ark, but the Tiva will preserve life. And God is going to use the Tiva, and God has brought his saving activity into play through Noah. Mankind is given 120 years, and yet it will not get its act together because it is called in Ra. And remember, Ra means that the wicked deed and its consequences are united in one. The process of the creation is going to be a fantastic event, unlike anything that mankind has experienced. Noah is there to offer God salvation. But as we shall study about in the next time of Pneumaticos, we shall see what happens. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.